Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I started here a few years ago, I was talking to Pastor Metcalf and I was expressing my concern that I wouldn't have the answers to all of the questions that people might ask. And he replied with a smile and a very wise tone of voice said, "I don't know" is a perfectly good answer. I always appreciate it when people ask me questions because it forces me to think about why I do things, why I believe what I believe. So I appreciate it when those questions come. They really make us all think about what it is we believe and why we believe it and how we see things. And so I'm going to start today with a few innocent questions and then we'll go on to some more formal questions. What do you call a boomerang that won't come back? A stick. What do you call a midget clairvoyant who just broke out of prison? A small medium at large. What do you call a row of rabbits jumping backwards? A receding hairline. You'll like this one. How can you drop a raw egg onto the concrete floor without cracking it? Concrete floors are very hard to crack. How can you lift an elephant with just one hand? That's not a problem because elephants don't have just one hand. Well, those are some kind of silly questions, and they make us chuckle, and I think that's good. But let's move on to what we are really celebrating today. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany means that it means manifestation. It means to appear, to make known. Epiphany is a celebration of the revelation, if you will, the manifestation of Jesus who has come to save all people in the world. Epiphany reminds us that Jesus came to bring forgiveness to all of us, to make the world right with himself. There are two themes in Epiphany. One is the coming of the Magi to worship Jesus and to bring him gifts. And the other is the baptism of our Lord, and that's the gospel lesson that we read today, and that event that we are considering today. So I just mentioned that questions can be good because they make us think a little bit about what we believe and why we believe it, and it forces us to do things a little bit differently maybe than we would have before. So here's a question about Jesus' baptism. If Jesus is the perfect Son of God, and without sin, and I believe we would all agree with that, why does he need to be baptized? You and I are baptized. When we are, the Holy Spirit is placed in us. But Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and so why, again, does he need to be baptized? If he is without sin, and we receive God's forgiveness when we are baptized, if Jesus is without sin, why does he need to be baptized? Makes you think. If you're really quick and you remember all those days you spent in catechism classes, you will probably jump to the answer that is answered in a lot of those places, and that is, Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Well, that's true. What does that mean? Jesus is God, so how does he need to be right with himself? Now, I have to tell you that if you had asked me that question before this week, I would not have had an answer for you either, because remember, I sat where you sat for most of my life. So don't feel bad that you don't know the answer to that, and if you do, congratulations. But here's the answer to that question as to why Jesus needed to be baptized. I'm going to read this so I get it right. Jesus had to be baptized to repent because we are not able to repent right on our own. Jesus is in that river today, repenting for you and for me. In our brokenness, we just never get anything quite right. Jesus is here today, getting it right for us. It might seem strange when you think about it that this one perfect, righteous person, the only one who ever came to this earth, is standing in line with a bunch of other sinners to be baptized. But there is Jesus standing in a line on the banks of the Jordan River, asking a strangely dressed man to baptize him. Jesus is there in that river, repenting for the sins of all of the world. All of the world's sin has been dumped on his shoulders. And in the next 2.5 months, we are going to see him carry those sins around on his ministry to that sacrificial death on the cross, which we will see in the end of March. And the sins that he carries are ours as well. And for us, this is good news, because he's taken our sins so that he belongs to be there, needs to be there much more than anyone else, because he's the only one who can get this right. It's good that he is there because the burden of sins that he carries are from all the world. But he doesn't just today begin to carry the burden of those sins. It doesn't start when he picks up that cross on Good Friday. It doesn't even start today when he is baptized at the beginning of his ministry. He begins carrying that burden of our sins of the whole world when he left his throne in heaven, when he was born of Mary, who was another a human being. He began carrying the burden of those sins when he was laid in the manger. He began carrying the burden of those sins when he grows up in a broken and sinful world. And there's more good news for us today. After Jesus is baptized, he comes up out of the Jordan, and the heavens are rent asunder, ripped open, if you will, and God speaks. He says that he is well pleased with this race that Jesus is running and the course that he is pursuing. He is pleased that Jesus has been in this line of sinners doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He's pleased to see Jesus shouldering the burden of our sin in the world, and he's pleased with the obedience that Jesus offers up to the Father, doing the Father's will. Our human nature means that we will never quite get our repentance 100% correct. We have fallen from the state of perfection that God intended in the Garden of Eden, but it is Jesus who hears the words which God really wants to hear us, have us hear. Because Jesus stands on the banks of the Jordan River, dripping wet from his baptism, we can be confident that what we cannot do on our own has already been done for us. We can be confident that God's words are meant for us too, because Jesus has just repented for us. The good news for us today is that in those words Christ has spoken, God has spoken to us about us in our own baptisms. Paul says in our epistle lesson for today that we have been united with Christ in the flesh. Because Jesus Christ was obedient even unto death, we have been given salvation in this world. Epiphany celebrates the revelation of Jesus, the Son of God, to not only the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. It reminds us that Jesus came to bring forgiveness for everyone, to make the world right with himself. And today, God continues to reveal himself to us through the words of Scripture. He strengthens our faith through the power of the sacraments. Today, the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, increasing our faith. And today, he helps us to understand what his plan of salvation for us is, what the plan for our lives are. And because of that, then, we can respond to God's love and to Jesus' sacrifice for us with thanksgiving. And we can do so by sharing that love and that sacrifice with others in both words and deeds. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.